Good evening, everyone. I would like to call our Reedy City Council meeting to order for Tuesday, November 13, 2018. Our invocation will be given by Russ Robinson this evening, and our Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Councilman Beck. Could you please stand?
Good evening. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for our veterans this evening and those that served for our country, the servicemen and women that some who gave the ultimate sacrifice in order for us to freely be able to meet here this evening. Yeah. Lord, we pray for those that may have suffered mental illness, physical illness. Lord, we just ask that you put a healing hand upon them and their families. And Lord, we pray for this meeting this evening. We ask that you bless the city council, the city staff, and we ask for your help and guidance as we make the big decisions that will impact the community and its citizens this evening. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please join the council in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have the roll call, please.
Councilmember Beck.
Here.
Councilmember Fass.
Here.
Councilmember Pignon is not able to be here today. Councilmember Salino.
Here.
Mayor Bettencourt.
Here. Agenda approval. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda?
There are none from staff, Mayor.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Fass.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Mayor Bettencourt.
Yes. We have two presentations this evening. The first one is introduction of Planning Department part-time office assistant, Marlon Pimentel.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. It gives me great excitement to introduce tonight Ms. Marlon Pimentel, who has recently been hired on as our part-time office assistant working in the Community Development Department. And while she may be housed in the Community Development Department, the position that she is holding and the role that she plays is vital to the front office and to those coming right in at City Hall. Because she plays the coordinating hand between public works, engineering, and community development, the one constant face that's there all the time as all the rest of the departments are working around her. So this is a position that we were very, very excited to place into the budget, have worked a long time for, coordinated amongst the various departments to make sure that we were going to do this as efficiently as possible. And with that, I'd like Marlon to join us and go ahead and stand up. Yeah, she came with her mom tonight as well. Marlon is from Dinuba, but we promised we wouldn't hold that against her. Very, very excited to have her here with us. And with that, she's been with us for just over a week now, and is just absolutely fitting in perfectly. Everybody really, really enjoys her very warm personality. She loves to learn. She's excited to be here, and we're definitely excited to have her. So, Marlon, welcome, and we're grateful to have you.
Thank you. Don't feel bad. Bob and I are both from Dinuba.
You're out. They're outnumbered tonight.
Well, welcome. Our second presentation this evening is an introduction of new police department explorers.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and members of council. It's an honor to be here tonight. As you can see, I brought a large group with me, holding up the back wall. But it's truly an honor to be able to present to you our most recent class of police explorers, class number 20. Just a brief overview of the explorer program. Our explorer post 836 is comprised of young men and women, ages 14 to 21. They go through an application process, a background, and an interview panel to be selected to begin the academy. And then they attend a 13-week academy every Saturday for 8 hours. Every session they have drill, inspection, and learning domain and physical fitness. So our academy, our Explorer Academy, is structured fairly consistently with the Fresno Police Academy, so they learn a lot of what our police officers learn at a much quicker pace. At the end of the 13 weeks, they're given a final written exam and also a final physical fitness test. The recruitment for class number 20 began this July, and they graduated successfully with all 17 applicants graduating of class number 20. And so that was great to see. We have a great group of Explorer advisors. Our senior Explorer advisor, Cindy Friesen, is here tonight. And I'm going to have her read the names of each Explorer, and then we'll bring them up in front.
Thank you.
Mariah Calvillo, Alexis Cuevas, Melanie Davila, Heidi Diaz-Balderas, she couldn't be with us this evening, Johan Farias, Agrippina Fernandez, Ariana Forbes, Alfredo Godinez, Jaslyn Hernandez, Nathaniel Hernandez, Kyle Kaler, Fabian Ornelas, Braden Raymer, Clarissa Ramos, Kelvin Reyes, Christian Robles, and Jasmine Zamora.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And I have to say, since they're all standing up here in front and shaking hands, these Explorers provide a valuable service.
Congratulations, thank you.
Huh? I know. Talking to myself.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Mark, were you saying something?
I just want to say a thank you to our Explorers. These all young people, this whole group and our current Explorer group, and now we have 37 current Explorers. We actually have more Explorers than we have police officers. But they provide a valuable service to the community, both inside the department and outside on patrol and special events. So thank you to all of you for your service. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Cindy. Is this a bigger class, Cindy, than before?
This is one of our bigger ones, yes. Yeah, we've had, you know, right around 10 or 12 or so, but this was a little bit bigger class, and all 17 that started graduated.
Yeah. Good job.
I have a lot of little ducklings right now.
Thank you. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the Council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the Council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the City Manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Are there any comments from the public? Okay, move on to consent agendas. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Are there any items the council wishes to remove?
Yes. 4, 5, 6, and 8.
Okay, may I have a motion for the remaining items?
So move.
Let me ask, is there any comments from the public first before we take a vote? None? Okay.
Second.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Mayor Bettencourt?
Yes.
So I can go ahead and take item four if you'd like to start with okay. item four. I just want to make a comment anyway. Okay. This is an appointment for Dan Musk as trustee of the Consolidated Mosquito Abatement District Board. And I just wanted to make a comment that I'm very thankful that we have this Consolidated Mosquito Abatement. Probably not right now in the fall and the winter months, but in the spring and the summer months. If we did not have this service, we would have a lot of sick people, I'm afraid. So I just want to make a call out to say thank you for Mr. Monk for being willing to be on that board, and to the Mosquito Abatement District that we appreciate them.
We'll pass that along to them.
Number five,
we have to vote on four.
Move to approve item number four.
Mm-hmm. I'll second it.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Mayor Bettencourt?
Yes. Number five, approve and authorize the city manager to sign an agreement with Financial Credit Network for collection service on delinquent customer accounts.
Go ahead. Good evening, Madam Mayor. I'm in City Council. I'm Tiffany Kudo, the accountant for the Administrative Services Department, and this evening I can answer any of your questions.
I just want to say thank you for taking time to follow up to see if we could find another company to handle this, and I'm hoping that our services will improve and it's going to cost us a lot less. I know in talking with the city manager, we were just commenting how little is actually collected, and I kind of have experience in this type of thing too myself, privately, and it's very difficult to collect anymore, it seems like. People that don't have money, there's no place to go to get it.
Thank you.
So, it's a difficult thing to do, but I appreciate your follow-up to find us a new alternative, and I hope we can get some more funding out of that.
Great, thank you.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Bettencourt?
Yes. Number six, approve and authorize the city manager to sign a lease agreement with New Vision Aviation for use of office space at Reedley Municipal Airport.
Yep. Good evening, Mayor and members of the council. Sarah Reed, Community Services Director. I can answer any questions that you have regarding the agreement. Joseph Oldham is also here to talk about what they'll be using the space for, if you have any questions about that.
Well, I just noticed Joseph in the audience, and I thought we should, at least since he came, we should give him an opportunity to just give us a brief overview of what they'll be doing here in Reedley.
Sure.
And maybe at what point we'll be tying into the Reedley College?
Well, we've actually, speaking to Reedley College, we've actually already started quite a bit of engagement with Reedley College. In fact, last week, their Aero Club, through Jason Asman, he reached out to me while I was actually had one of the alphas over at Reedley Airport, and he stopped by and said, "Hey, can I bring the Aero Club over to Chandler? They were really excited to see the electric aircraft, and would you give them a tour and talk to them about what you've learned with the aircraft?" And so I did, and they did. And an amazing group of young people. And they were just so excited. Most of them were not in the flight science program. These were the students in the Aero Club that are aviation mechanics courses. Mm-hmm. And they were just really, really excited about the electric propulsion system. And I decaled one of the aircraft. I showed them all the components. We talked about, we were there for, about an hour, hour and a half, something like that. And it was really great. And so, as we move forward with this project, I'm hopeful that we'll get to a point not too far down the road when we can start having some serious discussions with Reedley College about incorporating the aircraft at some level with their flight science program. What New Vision Aviation, by the way, I am the president and CEO of New Vision Aviation, Inc. It's a 501c3 nonprofit that we formed to basically perform the mission that this city council and Mendota City Council had envisioned for the Alpha Electros and for improving lowering the cost of flight training for our youth and people in our communities. And so I'm very pleased to say that we do have our full 501c3 status. We have established a bank account. We are recognized by the state of California and by the federal government as a non-profit 501c3 charitable organization. We've started to receive some donations already, and we're looking forward to getting some sponsors. We've been working with your city manager and really, I think, making some inroads with some very, shall we say, influential companies and organizations that are involved in this space, not the least of which is Boeing and Airbus and quite a few of the other companies that are owned by folks like Larry Page, the co-founder of Google. So we are on our way, and the reason for the lease at Reedley Airport is we believed all along that we should have a presence at the three airports that are part of this project. And the space is available at your airport. It's a nice little office space. We have furniture and we can occupy it. And our plan initially is to occupy it on weekends when the weather's good and when we're flying the Alphas over there. And we're also working on getting a gas version of the Alpha Electro. Pipistrel makes a Alpha Trainer that has a Rotax-powered gas engine. We're in the process of working with a gentleman in Minnesota that has one that wants to lease it to us and put it into our flight training program to augment the Electros, which will give us the ability to do longer cross-country flying. And then we're also even looking for an additional gas aircraft to be incorporated into the program. And so we're moving on a lot of different fronts. Just so you'll know, I got an email just as we were coming over here from an organization in Los Angeles that is affiliated with Ampere, which I was part of a panel at a symposium that CalStart held last week in LA. And we did a special panel on electric aircraft and electric aviation. And Corey Combs, the chief technology officer with Ampere, was on this panel with me. And he's been making a lot of connections. He's a great advocate for our program. He's been making a lot of connections. And he made a connection that I just found out about today, where a group wants to come up and do a multimedia event at all three of our airports to focus on the opportunities that these rural small airports present as innovative new transportation hubs using the latest zero emission technology. And of course, our project is a perfect fit for that.
Great.
So I'm excited about the future and believe that we're going to be making some amazing progress going forward.
We already are making amazing
progress. We are amazing progress.
So I'm going to chime in here to bring it back to the council item directly. The reason this lease agreement is so important and the reason setting up a 501c was so important is the aircraft, two of the aircraft are directly owned by the city of Reedley, two are directly owned by the city of Mendota. In order to lease those out and not have the liability, or rather, in order to not have the liability in a flight school that could completely bankrupt the city, we lease them to a nonprofit agency. That also allows a nonprofit to get private donations where people don't feel like they're funding a government, but rather they are funding an actual program. So with the 501c3 set up, we can do the lease arrangements now, although I think we are still working on the
liability insurance end of it.
We've asked for some. We've actually asked for revised quotes on the insurance for the office because they came in quite high, and we've got some lower costs there. We're working on getting a quote for the liability insurance for the office.
So this is important. And then I know when Ms. Fast and I spoke on the phone last night, we talked about when the first cohorts of students would be going through from Reedley. We have had a ground cohort go through. We also have a group of students from a local charter school next to Chandler that are interested in taking the class. Mm-hmm. But you'll recall we need an FAA exemption to get these unique aircraft up into the sky. Joseph has finished the 100 hours of flight that they requested, that the FAA requested, and we're now working with them to kind of sort through and sift through all that data and get that exemption. And so once we have that exemption, I think a full marketing for this community in Mendota will be important, but we didn't want to start the marketing until these students can finish the ground training and then get up into the sky as well. We didn't want too much time to pass between those two. So, and I think Joseph is underselling a little bit. It has been quite impressive to listen to these conference calls between him and Boeing and have their chief pilot asking questions, have them ask Joseph, what is it you all need to be successful because you are the future here? So it has been fabulous, and I expect that we'll be rolling something out to council within the next few months. In fact, they're going to send a few of their pilots down to fly our planes. So it's pretty neat when the world's leading aviation company comes to Reedley.
In fact, they're coming down next Tuesday.
There you go.
They wanted to get in before Thanksgiving.
When this program first started, it was mentioned it was going to be to try and get low-income individuals.
Correct.
And I hope that we can have more information out to the public so that the young people in this category understand what's taking place, and maybe we can motivate some of those individuals to come in and ask a lot of questions.
Right.
And I'd like to see more information from what you folks are working with to come back to the council so we can pass it on to people that ask questions.
Excellent. We would love to do that, and in fact, we still have $80,000 to $100,000 set aside through the grant for low-income scholarships. So it'll be for and students specifically in Reedley, Mendota, and the southwest Fresno area. We just simply didn't want to get started on that until we could really get them in quickly, because we thought the worst thing that can happen is we get their interest and then it sort of languishes.
Right.
What we want to do is get their interest from some marketing and then immediately get them into the ground schools. One of the things that Joseph and I have been talking about is this really innovative after-school program down in the Compton area that uses one of these Alpha Electro trainers. Theirs has never been up in the sky like ours has, though. They won't have certification to fly theirs. But they have it there so that kids in the Compton area go to this after-school program that's all based around aviation. They can climb in and out of this plane. They have a simulator. Mm-hmm. And we keep thinking, how awesome would it be to have something like that here in Reedley, where we have Great Western right next door. Mm-hmm. You have these children who have no concept of how to get into aviation industries, but if you can start them young, provide after-school programs for them, I think we can make some inroads in a lot of different areas. So if the community could just be patient a few more months with us, I think you'll see a lot going on.
It is. It is quite amazing. In fact, one of the comments that we got from one of the folks at Boeing was, you know, Joseph, you guys have already changed the design of one of our prototypes because we came down and saw what you were doing, and we realized that we needed to change something. Cool. So you've already made an impact Boeing's plans. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty impressive,
I think
we can feel really good about that. Yeah. So thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Joseph.
Okay.
Number eight, approve.
We need approval.
That's right. Yeah. Sorry.
Move to approve. Oh, go ahead.
Motion.
I had a first by Councilmember Salino, second by Councilmember Beck. Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Fast.
Yes.
Mayor Betancourt.
Yes. Number eight, approve a recommendation by the Community Service Commission to award community recreation grants in the amount of $350 each to the Reedley YMCA Committee and Reedley Friendship House, and $175 each to Reedley High School Pirate Band Boosters and the Reedley Kings Canyon Youth Soccer League.
Yes, Sarah Reed again. I can answer any questions you may have.
Well, I just saw quite a few people in the audience, and I'm assuming that that's why they're here.
YMCA is represented. I believe that is the only group.
Okay. I didn't know if any of you would want to make a comment about this grant.
Yes.
If you would come up to the microphone, please. Thank you.
And while you're coming up, since we don't frequently have you, we record all everything on this microphone. That's why you have to come up to the microphone.
Okay, so you're telling me to be good.
you will be recorded for posterity, Crystal. Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes, my name is Crystal Oliver. I'm with the YMCA, and Jean Clemens is here mm-hmm. with the YMCA. We just wanted to let you know some of the things that we have and we've been doing. We want to continue with the pep parades. We've been in the community for a long time, in which we need the support. And we also do the senior prom for our seniors. We set that up, correct, mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. them every year. And we also are helping with, at the end of our thing now, we're doing a mascot dance-off thing, and that's kind of,
And we send kids to camp up at Lake Sequoia.
Yes, and that's our goal. And then this year, what we want to do is actually send families. And we want to, instead of sending one kid, we were talking about going and getting vans and going for the day and taking families for the day instead of just the one kid. So they get the whole idea. Family up to the camp.
Great. So we really appreciate the grant.
Yes. And if there's questions, we can take questions.
I think you're doing a great job with your programs. Yes, that's great. The more programs that we that come before us for these grants, we'd like to know more about them. This has been going on for quite a few years.
Over 70.
Exactly.
Over 70.
And I'd like to ask Sarah if she could give us a list of all the programs that have applied for these grants and how you determine who gets the grants.
So there is a criteria that we included in the packet,
right.
which just kind of lays out what we're looking for.
Right.
And then we allow the commissioners to review those.
Okay.
And then at their meeting, they ask questions and allow the groups to share with them what they're doing, what they plan to do with the funds. This year we had 5 apply, which I was really excited about because the grant had gone away for a couple of years.
Right.
There didn't seem to be as much interest. And bringing it back shows me that there's a desire to use these funds to really support things here in town. So we did have 5 groups that apply. 1 didn't meet the criteria. They don't have their nonprofit number yet. So we did call them. We were very impressed with their plan. Just unfortunately, it didn't meet our guidelines. And the commission did have some discussion about selecting the Friendship Help and the YMCA to get the full amount just because they don't have as much support as the other 2 groups that the grant was split between. So the commission just has dialogue with them and then try to determine who's the most at need and where the funds would best be served.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I think this is a good idea. It's not a real large amount, but it gives some of these smaller nonprofits the ability to do something that maybe they couldn't otherwise. And
correct.
There's a lot of volunteers' time that goes into, I know, the YMCA, they're all volunteers, and to just give them a little bit of a boost, I think is great that we can do that.
Good, thank you.
I mean, I remember many years ago when my kids were in elementary school, we used to take the kids up for the camp. And on the way over there, a lot of them have never experienced that. They were so quiet and kind of scared. And on the way home, oh my God, they were just talking and excited and just really, you know, real happy, you know. So it's a beautiful experience. And I like that you're taking families because every year I work with a group of moms, and every year we take a trip to the mountains. They've never been to the mountains.
Wow.
And so a lot of them get so excited that then they now know how to get there and what it's about. So then they turn around and then they take their families with them. Mm-hmm. So I think just taking them for the first time is just a good experience where they'll continue to take the families up there. So it's really nice, a good idea. I like it. So, anyway, thank you for all you do.
Thank you very much. I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Mayor Bettencourt?
Yes. We'll move on to a public hearing. Adopt resolution number 2018. Get this one. For a proposed annexation of parcel B of parcel map 2017-1, 2035 Frankwood Avenue into the City of Reedley's Landscape and Lighting Maintenance District number 1. Number A is open public hearing for the annexation of parcel B of parcel map 2017-1, 2035 Frankwood Avenue into the City of Reedley's Landscape and Lighting Maintenance District number 1, Zone Z.
Okay, Mayor, Council Members John Robertson, City Engineer. Item 12 before you tonight is the last step in the process for annexing properties into the City's Landscape and Lighting Maintenance District number 1. As shown in Exhibit B1 in the staff's report, the parcel B of parcel map 2017-1 is the only parcel being annexed into the Landscape and Lighting Maintenance District. Parcel A is not included because there's nothing in front of it that's being maintained by the city, no landscaping in front of it that's being maintained by the city or lighting adjacent to it. So we did not include it. It does not need to be included into the LLMD. Excuse me. With this annexation, Zone Z will be created and made up entirely of the area in front of parcel B, along with the streetlight that's adjacent to that area. On October 23rd, Council ordered the preparation of the engineer's report to analyze the costs for the city to administer the required maintenance and materials that would also be included for this zone, which is to be Zone Z, and to determine the amount to be collected and make sure it was adequate to cover the costs that would be associated with the project. The zone is subject to the CPI, or Consumer Price Index, much like the rest of the LLMD, in order to keep up with the costs associated with increasing labor or materials costs, and allowing us to adjust for those rising costs that come up to the project. That concludes the staff's report regarding this. This is the last step in the annexation process, so a public hearing is required. We did put this an item in the paper to let people know of the public hearing, and an about was mailed out to the property owner, and that has been returned and will be opened and read aloud tonight. And that concludes staff's presentation and report. I can answer any questions you might have on this item if you have any.
So I didn't quite understand why number A, the parcel A, was not included.
Parcel A wasn't included. There's no landscaping that's going on in front of the parcel, that's going to be maintained by the city.
Okay.
All of it's to be maintained by, and there's no street trees in front of that parcel. Okay. The city would maintain. And the streetlights are all on the other side in a different zone.
Okay.
LLMD zone. So there was nothing to really annex into the property.
Okay.
Or that the property had to receive the benefit from. That we could assess it for.
All right, that's the only question I had.
No more discussion from the council? Okay, then I'll read B.
To open the public hearing.
Open the public hearing. Is there any public comments? None? Okay, then I'll close the public hearing. And I'll move on to B.
No, I need to open the ballot.
Oh, okay.
Direct the city clerk to open the ballot.
Okay, could you please open the ballot?
We received, the City of Reedley mailed out one ballot to Quarrying General LLC, and we received the one ballot back. On the ballot measure, they voted yes, so we can proceed to item B.
Okay. Item B, adopt resolution number 2018-094 of the City Council of the City of Reedley, approving the annexation of parcel B of parcel map 2017-1, 2135 Frankwood Avenue into the City of Reedley's Landscape and Lighting Maintenance District number 1, Zone Z. Okay.
I make a motion to approve resolution 2018-94 to include the address 2035 Frankwood Avenue into the Landscape Lighting and Maintenance District Number 1, Zone Z.
Second.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Bettencourt?
Yes. We'll move on to administrative business. Approve mayor's nomination to fill vacancy on the airport commission and one vacancy on the planning commission. So this is city clerk, and I think we have one
mayor
of our...
Mayor and members of the council, we have the item before you. The staff recommends that Reedley City Council approve the mayor's nomination for the reappointment of Anthony Jewell to the airport commission for a 3-year term, and appoint the new appointment of William C. Conrad to the Planning Commission to complete former Planning Commissioner's Brian Bissett's term, which will expire November 2021. And Mr. Conrad is here in the public.
Thank
if
you.
If you'd
for
like
a...
to acknowledge him. Mr. Yes. Conrad. And after we received the applications, they were reviewed by the mayor and
thank you for applying your interest and wanting to serve.
Yeah, appreciate you being willing to serve.
Yes, thank you.
And with that, could we have a motion, please?
Motion.
Second.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Bettencourt?
Yes. Item 14, consideration of items pertaining to the demolition of Royal Valley Building. Number A, adopt resolution number 2018-085, approving a contract with David Knott Incorporated for the demolition and remediation of all materials of the Royal Valley Building in the amount of $328,828. And grant the city manager authority to approve change orders up to an amount equal to 15% of the contracted amount. Number B, adopt budget resolution number 2018-086, amending the fiscal year 2018-2019 budget to appropriate $407,500 in available 2011 RDA bond proceeds to fully fund the Royal Valley demolition project. Number C, approve and authorize the city manager to execute an amendment to solar power purchase agreement with Pacific Powers Renewables Incorporated dated April 23rd, 2013. Ooh. Kind of scary.
Yeah. Madam Mayor, Council Members, John Robertson, City Engineer. The three items before you today require action by City Council related to the demolition of the Royal Valley Building. And included with that demolition is a remediation of hazardous waste materials that we know are in the building and they need to be properly disposed of. And then in addition to that is the funding required to do that, and also the modification of the agreement that we have for the solar power purchase agreement. Just a little background on the project and what we're doing here is the project was put out to formal bid on October 16th of this year. The base bid that was put out required remediation of any hazardous waste materials and disposal of those materials encountered in the building, and the demolition of the entire upright structure leaving the concrete floor. As an additive alternate, we did put in the removal of the concrete floor. We were concerned that the first section, the base bid, might come in at a price too high for us to cover that we were comfortable covering. We put in as an add alternate the removal of the concrete floor that's existing. To do that, in order, if the bids came in good well and we had enough to cover it, we could then cover it with those. So we wanted to include both in, but have it separate so we could have the flexibility to award what we could fund. Fortunately, the bid did come in, so we are proposing to award the demolition of the entire structure, including the concrete floor. So we would award the base bid and the additive alternate. Just a little bit more information. So we did conduct on October 25th a mandatory walkthrough with the contractors. We had a good turnout of multiple contractors probably about 10 to 12 different firms, representing 12 to 10, 10 to 12 firms. And we walked the site, talked about the scope of the project, let them look in all the buildings and behind the doors and climb up the roof, and gave them full access to the site and answered questions that we had for them. In addition to that, staff had done some additional work to determine the extent of the hazardous waste that was contained within the structure. And we had two different documents, that were provided to the contractor, so they had a good understanding of everything that we had found that could be, that they could expect to have to be responsible for removing. The bid was out for advertised for 3 weeks, and the bid opening was held here in City Hall November 6th, 2018, where the city received, opened, and read aloud 8 bids, and the bids ranging from $328,828 to $620,267,000. Upon analysis of the received bids, staff determined that the low bidder, David Knott Incorporated, did meet the requirement, licensure requirements, which was a little bit different than a typical one. Typically, the contractors were just required to have a license A or license B. Given the nature of the project and the work, we wanted to make sure they had specialty licenses in demolition and remediation of hazardous waste. So that was a requirement that the contractor or his sub had to have those licensures, and David Knott did meet those requirements. There was a concern that the second low bidder was significantly higher than the first. I did have a conversation with David Knott, the owner of the company, mentioned that to him, if he was comfortable with his bid. And he mentioned to me that he was comfortable staying with his bid and moving forward as is. So staff is recommending with item A, 14A, that council award both a base bid and add alternate to David Knott Incorporated in the amount of $328,828, and grant the city manager authority to approve change orders up to an amount equal to 15% of the contracted amount, or approximately $49,324. We did increase the change order amount up to 15% based on the fact that there is a lot of unknowns in these types of projects, and we wanted to make sure we could cover some of those unknowns that might pop up. If we exceed 15% in change orders, we will be coming back to council for approval to go any higher than that. 14B is the budget amendment that is required to set aside for this fiscal year, the RDA funds that will be used for this project. That is to cover the contracted costs for David Knott Incorporated. Also, the demolition contingency costs, we just mentioned the 15%, and also some of the costs that staff spent on getting the reports done to analyze the hazardous waste that were in the buildings. And so that $407,402 covers all those costs. The last item, 14C, is because the Royal Valley building contains the solar panels on top, it is required to remove those, so we don't want to demolish those. So we have been in talks, Russ has been in talks with Pacific Power, and they have agreed to remove the panels for a period and store them for a period of up to 1 year, and then reinstall them on elevated solar parking structures at no cost to the city or upfront cost to the city. In return, the city would agree to extend the current solar power purchase agreement for a period of 5 years, bringing the total term of the agreement to 25 years. The plan is that once the demolition is complete, we would then look to start the design process of a parking lot in that area. And that parking lot would then also contain these elevated structures that we're talking about to provide shade, and also where they would hold the solar panels also. So those three items are before you tonight, two resolutions and a modification of an agreement. And that concludes my report. And I can answer any questions regarding this matter. And Paul Malikian and Russ Robertson can also answer any questions you might have regarding the budget amendment or the power purchase agreement modification.
Any questions from the council?
Well, you want to go ahead? If I can start this, I'm going to just say that I totally support what you're doing tonight, because when this Royal Valley was proposed, what came up to the city when it came for sale quite a few years ago, the council at that time had mixed emotions about buying it. And my concern was if the city grew, which was going to grow eventually, fire department, police department, well, not the fire department, but police department, city hall, and the courthouse were going to be landlocked. I felt that this property was going to be beneficial to us in the long run. As the city grew, we could expand, and if we didn't, then eventually you'd have to buy other pieces of property and new buildings for different agencies in this city. So I think what we're doing tonight is probably my concern when the library came up for proposal. That was my concern, that we were going to lose what was going to be beneficial to the city in the future. But now that the library is going to a different location, I think we're doing the right thing for this program. So I'm glad to see this.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Good foresight from future or past councils.
Yeah, I just had a question. On the second page of the report, it talks about $15,000 for initial testing and phase one environmental report. Is that something that we as the city did, or?
Yes, we did that in order to determine exactly the extent of the hazardous waste materials that were in that building, because we were unsure. And in order to provide a good scope for the contractor so that he would know exactly what he'd have to do, we went and did the testing that was in there to determine what hazardous materials would need to be, that would be encountered and that need to be disposed of properly per state standards and requirements.
Okay. And just a comment, I appreciate that we're going to be removing the existing concrete. I know I've worked at quite a few different packing houses, and I know how sometimes things get added on and maybe not added on quite appropriately, but I think by doing this, we're going to have a flat, open lot to build back to what we want it to be without some things, you know, messing up down the road if we would have kept the existing concrete. So I appreciate that the decision was made to go forward to make it a open ground environment to start with.
I also like that Pacific Power is going to store our panels for us for up to a year, but keep our escalator at zero cost to the city. Mm-hmm. So that's important. That's an additional 5 years at the same rate. So.
They've been a very good partner to work with and working with us on this.
I did receive a question, by the way, that I thought would be good for the rest of the council to know, and that is the River City Theater Company has, over the past years, had storage space in Royal Valley, and so they have removed everything that they wish to keep. Anything that's in there still is just going to be demolished along with the building, and they are aware, and so they've gone through, they've had plenty of time. So I'm going to look at Sarah for the nod on that. As well as Love Inc., we used to have an agreement with them, a formal agreement, and they had storage in the bottom, and mm-hmm. they have removed everything that they wish to remove as well. So if those two questions come up from any community members, both organizations have removed everything that they wish to remove. Mm-hmm. So.
Is there any more questions from the council?
Is there any questions from the public? If not, do I have a motion? Do we separately?
I believe we have to do them separate mm-hmm. Resolutions.
So do I have a motion for number A?
A motion.
Go ahead.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Bettencourt?
Yes. A motion for B?
So moved.
Second.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Bettencourt?
Yes. And a motion for number C?
So moved.
Second.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Mayor Bettencourt?
Yes. We'll move on to 15, adopt resolution number 2018-092, approving final parcel number map 2017-1, Cottage Glen, track 5, and 4. Track number 5475, remainder parcel, and approving the parcel map improvement agreement for parcel number 2017-1.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, Rob Terry, Community Development Director. The item before us tonight is resolution, the adoption of resolution 2018-092, which would approve final map 2017-1. That is for Cottage Glen 4, tract number 5475. This is the remainder parcel for the action that had previously been taken on that. And in addition, it would be approving the parcel map improvement agreement for parcel map 2017-1. So a little bit of history on the parcel. Back on in May of 2006, the City Council, the Reedley Planning Commission approved tract number 5475, Cottage Glen 4. That included just under 1 acre of a remainder parcel at the northern portion of that project site. In November of 2006, the City Council had moved forward with accepting the final map for that tract and also entering into the subdivision improvement agreement for tract number 5475. On December 5th of 2017, the Aquarian Corporation, who is the owner of the site, approached the city about that remainder parcel and interest in finding a way to be able to still utilize that as opposed to just simply leaving it as an open remainder parcel. So we sat down as staff, talked through some of the regulations and some of the conditions that would need to go along with splitting that remainder parcel to allow for access on Sirier on one side, on Frankwood on the other, and discussed through those details with them and entered into the conditions of approval, which were then, of course, delivered to the Reedley Planning Commission on March 15th of 2018. So at this time, the developer has submitted a final parcel map in accordance with Reedley Municipal Code Section 11314. The city engineer has reviewed that final map submission for conformance to the boundaries, the public easement locations, dedications, the closure calculations, and other additional information as required, and has consequently found that map to be in substantial compliance to the tentative map that was approved by the Planning Commission, and submits said map to the City Council now for their approval and consideration. In regards to the completion of the public improvements, the property owner has also requested entering into a parcel map improvement agreement, which was with the staff report as attachment 2. This action allows for the filing of a final map with the assurance that the outstanding improvements, public improvements needed to serve that site, both sites, will be taken care of in a time frame that is acceptable to the city. And they are, of course, secured by a surety bond and other specifications. City Council has the authority to approve with conditions, or disapprove the improvement agreement. The developer has already provided their signed initiation documentation that's associated with annexation into the LLMD, which we heard earlier tonight, and also into the Community Facilities District, which will happen in the future. Both of those items, of course, were required within the agreement prior to the final map recordation. All the fees that have been associated with the processing of the tentative parcel map 2017-1 were paid prior to the Planning Commission taking their action. Final map and improvement agreement fees have also been paid by the applicant prior to tonight's meeting as well. The Reedley City Council accepted final map in that subdivision agreement for Track 5475 back in 2006, so this is a very similar process that we're going through tonight. With that said, you have as attachments, attachment number one, resolution 2018-092, which accepts the final map and also authorizes entering into that improvement agreement. Attachment number two is the draft parcel map improvement agreement for parcel map 2017-1 that specifies the public improvements that are required to be completed, the time frame in which they need to be completed, and other details associated with the improvement and the surety bonds to go along with that. And then attachment number three is a copy of the final parcel map 2017-1. The most important thing that we wanted to point out tonight about the entering into the improvement agreement is that it allows for the off-site and the on-site improvements to take place at the same time. So it allows for a lot of those construction activities to happen quicker instead of drawing them out over time. It also allows the property owner to move forward with the final map type of process and move into selling activities of the parcels to hopefully be able to get building single-family homes located onto those areas. We have been told by the applicant that they do already have interest in both parcels. One of them, a potential buyer, is really chomping at the bit, very excited to be in that location. And the second one here is getting close to entering into escrow. So with that said, this concludes staff's presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have about this item.
Any questions from the council?
I have a question. By this parcel A, looking at this parcel map, does and I didn't get over there today to go look. Does Sierra Avenue go through there right now, or will they be building a street for Sierra Avenue on the left there?
It does not. It currently has a street, but of course, along the frontage of parcel A, it is not completed because that was a remainder parcel. So they will be adding in the curb, gutter, and sidewalk right along there, and of course, dedicating the necessary items over to the city.
Okay, and then on the other end, on parcel B, there'll be a right-of-way, extra right-of-way for Frankwood to get wider?
That is correct. And in addition, that area is annexed into the LLMD per the action taken earlier today.
Right. Yep. Okay.
One of the requirements and the conditions of approval for the tentative map was that parcel B was required to have a circular driveway, and that was for safety because of the traffic numbers on Frankwood Avenue. So you'll see a little bit more concentration on the design on parcel B than you will on parcel A, which is a less traveled residential street.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions? Councilman Beck? No. Councilman Salerno?
No.
No? Is there any comments from the public? Questions? If not, do I have a motion?
I'll move to approve.
Second.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Salerno?
Yes.
Mayor Betancourt?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Information and reports. Number 16, minutes of the regular meeting of Community Service Commission. Number 17, minutes of the regular meeting of the Reedley Airport Commission. And council reports. Wants to go first?
I'll go ahead and take it. I sure apologize for not meeting at the Faith House, but I was asked by my granddaughter to attend a awards banquet hosted by the Reedley Area Egg Boosters Club, which includes the Future Farmers of America for Reedley High School, Emmanuel High School, the Reedley College FFA program and 4-H program. I think there were over 150 kids that were awarded, which is great. This is a great program for the kids, and they raise all these animals, attend for the Fresno Fair. It's really amazing what these kids can do. So that was one. The other one was late this afternoon was asked about is it possible to have maybe, and you'd have to go through the Project Safety Committee. The doctor's office just next door, right in front, people have said that they have problems when a handicapped person cannot find a parking lot or space. They have to go to the stop sign and walk them back. Is there any possible way to maybe have a green parking sign or space?
We actually have talked about that as a group because it's considered a parking district rather than parking for each individual business.
Right.
So we've talked about what we can do, and I believe we've talked about maybe a handicap stall in the back of their building for some of their patients. So we'll continue to pursue some options. Just this morning, we came up with another option that we want to propose to that doctor's office. We are running into some issues with staff parking in as opposed to patient parking, et cetera. Right. So we'll definitely make a note of that and continue to try to find a solution for them.
Okay, because I've had probably 4 or 5 people have asked that. So I said, I'll bring it up to the city council and see what they can come up with.
Okay.
All right. Okay. The next one is on Lilac Street, where next to the Palm Village. Russ, there's some trees there that the sidewalk is coming up. They removed some in prior years, and some people are asking if it's possible to take a look at that, either remove the trees or fix the sidewalks. So, and that's all I have. Thank you.
I attended the Reedley Mennonite Brethren Church Fall Family Fun Night on Halloween night, and we had another great attendance there, and just wanted to say thank you to Cindy Friesen and the police department and the explorers for coming and helping there, and Rich Rodriguez and his fire explorers for helping bringing the vehicles. Makes a lot of excitement for the kids, especially the little ones that are so reachable, I always say. You can teach them all kinds of things because they still want to listen. And so it was a good evening, and I just wanted to say thank you for all the help from the city on that. Then I attended the police awards on last week, and it's always fun to see who gets the awards and who's the hot shot for the year. And I appreciate seeing all the families and having them come too. I think that's important that they're included, and want to say thank you for the church that did the breakfast for us. Man, that's good food. Also attended the Faith House open house. I didn't get to stay for the program, but I had something else later in the evening. I spoke with a resident. She said she was homeless and she has a teenage child and was very thankful for this safe place to live for a short period of time. She said, to me, it looked really nice. She took me on a tour. The only thing that I saw that I would like to see is quite a few of those large trees were pulled out on the left side of the parking lot. And I'd like to see maybe some more trees planted over in that area to maybe make a area for the kids to play into. And last but not least, I was talking with Shirley Ito, and she was the backer to paint the R on the R Mountain. And she said to say thank you to Sarah, I think, and for, I don't know, somehow getting some funds for her to paint from somebody from the city. Okay. Well, whoever.
We'll pass it on to those who need the thanks. But yeah, okay. We did manage to get about $300 for them for the paint, okay, for the R. Yeah.
Okay. Well, she was saying, she said to say thank you to the city. So
okay. We'll take it.
I thought it was Sarah. Sorry. Okay. That's all I had.
Okay. Bob?
At COG meeting last month, I don't know if Rob and him are aware, but they have the opening for TOD projects, and I don't know if you got any information if we have anything that meets that criteria. Sure. So that would be, I think, a great way maybe to get some funding if we have something that might meet that project. Also was at the RPD Awards banquet, and I really kind of, this year is a little different, because there were several old fellows showed up that I worked with from the department was there, some XSO guys and stuff, and it's kind of neat that they have kids that's into the, I think Explorers is one of the families, which is Ron Adolf, which is from the old SO gentleman, has a nephew that's in, him and Connie, his wife. So I hadn't seen those folks in a long time. One of our ex sergeants was there, Kevin Fite, who is with the DA's office now. So not only did I get to see a great program, but I got to see some of the old guys that we worked with. So. Also attended the Faith House. The open house here, I'm really impressed with the work that was done with Absolutely. The building there, and they've done a great job in it. The grounds look great. Everything just it was so clean and nice, and I can see something that's going to be very, it's going to be such an advantage for our community to have a place to take families when they need the help. And so I'm looking forward to that project being successful. So thank you. That's all I have, Mayor.
Okay. I also went to the awards ceremony, and it was really nice. It's just nice to see all them dressed up and just really impressed. Also, the Faith House, I'm just so glad it's finally happened. And it was a really good turnout, yes. And the food was good, and it just was really nice. Everybody was excited and to have something like that, and we're very blessed that we were able to do that. So thank you, everybody who helped. So. Okay, so now we'll have staff reports.
All right, we do have a couple staff with some updates. I'll start off by letting you know that we will not be having a council meeting on the 27th. I do appreciate that council was willing to consider coming in for the workshop for HDL on our economic development plan. However, I did talk with a consultant and suggested that we look for a date either in December or January. We're trying to coordinate this with some other clients of theirs since they're down in the LA area, so when they can come up. We did receive the first deliverable from them, which is a market analytics insight study, and I'll be providing some information to the council on that. So I do want to just let you know that we're still working on a date for the workshop, and we did mention to him that we might be looking at a special meeting for that so we can solely focus on economic development rather than trying to rush it through on a regular council meeting night. So we'll keep you posted and work with your schedules on that. Sadly, you're all well aware of the multiple fires going on in California. I want to let you know that tonight I did release the chief to go with his search and rescue unit up to the Paradise Fire. Paradise is a town about 5,000 more population than Reedley. The entire town has been wiped out. So imagine our town, a little bit bigger, just completely gone. His search and rescue unit is now doing a search and recovery unit for the 200 or so missing people. So I did excuse him tonight to go up for a few days with his unit on that. In addition, we do have our fire tender is at the Southern California Fire. And Ken Baker, who is the one running the Faith House, is up at the Paradise site as well tonight. He just arrived. I was watching his Facebook page. He and I spoke over the weekend about this. Because we do not have applications from Reedley families right now, he asked if we could offer up the rooms to any just immediate need for families that want to come down or willing to travel. We doubt any will take us up, but we have six additional spots. Background checks will still be done. We are going to abide by that commitment to the community. And our commitment was also that Reedley families would have first dibs. So we will keep those commitments, but since we do have open rooms and we certainly have a dire need in California right now, I did give him permission if he finds any families that want to make that trip down, that house is obviously open for them. And just, let's see. Oh, lastly, on the TOD funding, Mr. Beck, I just want to let you know this year looks like it'll be the first one where we do actually have a project we can go in for. So we're pretty excited about that. It's time that some rural cities have some
access
TOD funding.
Funds.
Yes. So Rob's been working diligently on that one. I'm really excited about what he's come up with and where this is going. So we will bring that forward to council when it's ready. We're being a little hush-hush about that right now just because we want to make sure that the developer is okay with it before we roll it out to the public. So are there staff with updates?
I have a brief stating the obvious. Obviously, Reed Avenue is open again, but I did want to let you know we're still waiting for the streetlights to come in. They should be coming in. They're on back order. We're hoping they'll see this week or the next week, so they'll be installing the streetlights. And also at the crosswalk, we'll be getting the rectangular rapid flashing beacons at the crosswalk from the church over to the college. Those are still yet to be installed. So there's still some work to do, but there will be no more large closures or detours like we had. There probably some smaller lane closures that we put streetlights in and poles up. But the majority of the work is done, so it should be open to people. And I think it's going really well. I think people are very appreciative of
very
it being completed, but also driving on a nice road.
Can you give an update on Luke Trimble as well?
Yes. So tomorrow we are going to be meeting with the, we being myself and public works staff, meeting with the contractor installing all of the play equipment and the splash park equipment and starting to do some testing and training on some of that equipment. So that'll be happening tomorrow. We expect that it will be completely completed within a couple weeks by now, but we will then not open it to public yet. I mean, it will be open except for the splash park. It'll be open to the general public. There's still a few more things to do as far as the training and other things, but then some benches to put them and some other things. But it's wrapping up pretty quickly.
So if you've not driven by that site lately, I heartily urge you to do so. It's beautiful with the landscaping. The sod mm-hmm. is in. The bathroom obviously is in. That neighborhood, I feel so much better about what we're doing for that neighborhood because they've suffered with that blighted pool site for so long. In addition, I want to thank Code for going out and working with the property owner just on the one side that has the apartments. The carport was falling down in terrible shape, and Code was able to get him to rebuild that. So that is all looking very nice now from that side. So very nicely done on Gavino's part there. So
we've got some great comments on the splash park. Oh. Great comments.
Good.
And prior to the finish of Reed Avenue, there weren't very many smiles, but now that it's finished, you can see people saying, thank you very much.
I really have to heartily thank the residents on Reed. Of all the residents in Reedley, they were the most impacted, and they were awesome to work with. The complaints came from people not on Reed Avenue.
Right.
The people on Reed Avenue, beautiful. So.
Yeah, I'm smiling again, too. Now,
yeah.
I can see that.
Sleeping again as well.
I'm sleeping, too.
John, I tell you right now, the neighbors in that area have to be happy because the repair of that roadway, the noise itself is probably better than 50% reduced.
Yeah.
You can, the vehicle traffic is much quieter through there. So not only did you improve the roadway, but you improved their quality of life over there. So,
I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, John was mentioning something to me this morning that I think would be interesting for you council members to know, because several of you have brought up to me how deteriorated Reed had become given the gravel trucks that were not anticipated to be there when that road was first built. And John and I were speaking about some issues with the seam, et cetera, and he mentioned that he had much bigger gravel put into that asphalt mix because we want that road to stand up and the test of time and those heavy gravel trucks. So I think this community will have a beautiful road for much, much longer than expected because John had a lot of foresight and was listening to you all when you mentioned that you wanted that road to last. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other staff updates? Oh, sorry, Paul. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, it's getting a little bit late, we'll try to keep it brief, but I wanted to bring you some good news tonight from our department, but it's actually a citywide accomplishment. The CSJVRMA is our risk management pool. You guys have heard that acronym over the years, the Central San Joaquin Valley Risk Management Authority. They have an annual safety award program that cities can apply when they're doing something that is innovative or of something that is best practice to make a workplace safer and to reduce injuries. Because injuries are not good for staff who get hurt. It's not good for cities because they're very expensive. It's downtime. It's just not good when employees get hurt at work or even if there's near misses because that means that there's an unsafe work environment present. So it's kind of a big deal for us. It's not really talked about on the top line of our programs and services out in the community, but it is something that is important internally. That said, the program through the RMA promotes a positive safety culture by recognizing and rewarding employees that take an active role in our city safety program. So our own safety program had not been updated since the year 2010. I don't know if city manager is going to kick me into the table for saying that, but that was something that we discovered several years ago, was that safety program was severely outdated. The departments themselves were doing their own safety programs, but they were fragmented and they were in their own silos. They were meeting most of the requirements set forth by the state of California. But there wasn't a concerted effort to centralize and make sure everything was happening correctly and that we were reviewing this and everybody was doing what they're supposed to be doing. So that said, we approached the city manager with the idea of implementing a best practice to start a citywide safety committee. And the safety committee is made up of representatives from most of the city departments, so police, fire, CSD, We have department, and then a lot of public works, because that's where a lot of the injuries happen because of the nature of the work. Mm-hmm. So that said, we've started it about a year ago now. We meet quarterly. These members are empowered to do safety investigations when there's things happening. Mm-hmm. One of the things that the safety committee discovered very early on, and it should have been common sense for us, but we discovered it early on, is that if you're doing a safety investigation, you shouldn't have your own department members doing the actual investigation. So we real quick switched it around to where another department was investigating another, and it didn't pit employee against employee. That's not how it was set up, but it's been a great learning experience for a lot of the employees to really learn about what's going on in other areas. So I do want to recognize the work of Tiffany Kudo. She's our staff accountant with the Administrative Services Department. She was absolutely instrumental in getting the Citywide Safety Committee off the ground. She currently serves as sort of the co-administrator of the Citywide Safety Program. She does a great job, and actually the award was awarded in her name, so I'd like to bring it up here. So nice. It's really fancy, so we get to put yet another award on our shelf, not for our department, but as a city, it seems like they're just stacking up. So this was a result of a lot of hard work, and it's a representative of the support that we get from the city council and our city manager, who has been really great in supporting this, because a lot of times there's a focus on improving programs and services. Well, having safe working environments helps us improve our services and improves the employee morale here, too. Yeah. So just wanted to recognize Tiffany, and also to show this, yet it's another award for the city of Reedley. So thank you.
Hey, Tiffany, I think you should come up and receive your award.
She's already, she had done that at the board of directors meeting. So she was actually given about 10 minutes time, I think, total for her work. So
good girl. Good, so. Well deserved. Yeah. Go Reedley. Well deserved.
Yep. Go Reedley.
Yeah, that's great.
Just really quick, Mark Ettinger from the police department, since I forgot to introduce myself the first time. Just to expand on an item that Council Member Fass had brought up this past Saturday with the R on Camel Mountain. Our Explorer Post this year, and I didn't mention this while they were here, but our Explorer Post partnered with FFA kids from the high school and made the 900-foot trek up to where the R is at. But I got some really good drone pictures and video of them this year, since we didn't have that last time they were up there. So, John, since you're here, if you want some coverage on that, stop by and see me.
We have a big one, but yeah, you send us something next week.
For next week, yes. I know we're past the deadline, but I just wanted to give both of those groups a lot of thanks. That's a lot of work. It's really easy to fly that thing from the ground and not have to hike up 1,000 feet. But they had a great time, and it was a great day, and there was a lot of graffiti up there in red paint that we believe was caused by Sanger, but not to mention any names. Thank you.
Just to piggyback on Lieutenant's comments, the donation that was received by Shirley Ito, a sizable portion of that amount was actually donated by the city manager. I just felt the need because it was a matter of public record, and I'm the official keeper of the funds, so I just needed to clarify that. So,
When Shirley Ito asks, how do you say no? I mean, that's right.
Thank you.
That was good. I believe that's all council for tonight.
That's all for this evening?
Yeah.
We'll close the meeting, and everybody have a nice evening. And we'll be back in December.
December.
Yes.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yes.
Yes.